Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 67, recorded on Tuesday, July 12th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell. That was... I don't know what that was, but that was my authoritative, like, it Jason was. Howell.
You almost picked my nose there.
No, sorry.
It was.
Hey. Ah, I was my eyes. For Aaron to chime in. Hello, Aaron Newcomb. Welcome
hey, guys. Aaron Newcomb back again. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for
having me. Yeah. Been a while. I love being on the show.
Ron is not on the show today because he is busily preparing for Comic-Con. I'm going there too, but I'm just going for fun. He's got work to do, so he's really busy over there. But you will see Ron later in this episode. Tease, tease, tease. And we're also going to be talking about the return of the Galaxy Nexus. So far. More kind Jelly of. Bean talk and a hackable game console and more. You know, I had an idea. Maybe someday... a viewer could do the intro for us. What do you guys think? Like an all viewer feedback show, somebody pre-record and open if we say, I don't know, maybe some kind of contest or something, and they get to do the open for the show.
Yes, we could pick the winner from all of the submissions and find a really, really, really good one.
Jason's like, oh God, what did you just get us into? I'm not saying you're going to do this anytime soon. Somebody in chat, you know, when you asked me a pre-show, who's going to do the intro? I was like, me, I could do it. And then I saw somebody say, I could do it. And I thought, you know what? I bet somebody out there could really do it.
the trick would be knowing exactly who's going to be on that particular episode in advance in enough time to be able to record the intro and do it.
Yeah. It's not impossible.
No, it's not.
I have a can-do attitude today. We can do this.
How about this? Year. We'll think about
next
it.
Next year.
We'll put that into the idea box.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and put it in the idea box. And
it goes right into the suggestion box.
Doesn't get lost in there.
It's like, dude, you're a producer. You know how hard this is. Why are you doing this? Just because somebody said I can do it. And I was like, you know what? I got this can-do attitude today. But maybe I should just stop. Okay, you know what? Maybe we should just go to the news. Okay, so last week during our show, there was all that talk about the fact that about the Galaxy Nexus, our lovely Galaxy Nexus here, now offering with Jelly Bean shipping soon. The last time we mentioned, Apple won an injunction against Samsung over patent infringement, banning the sale of the device. Then Google removed it from the store. Actually, that hadn't happened yet during our show, but Google removed it from the store since our last show. Then Samsung won an appeal, so Google could put it back up for sale, which I think was Friday or something, until Apple responds. And then the court will decide whether to allow Google to sell the device during the patent trial. Right now it's there. It's like $350. Go get it now. It's going to be shipping with Jelly Bean. Also, like we mentioned last week, Google is working with Samsung to release an OTA update that would potentially right that wrong and allow the phone to be sold without any interruption. You guys got to get this phone. It's awesome. I don't even know why I was... I mean, I love the Galaxy S3, but I have to say I'm really glad that I have the Nexus. And the butterness on Jelly Bean is totally worth it. Right? Right, guys? What do you guys think?
I feel like it absolutely is. I love the device. It's interesting because you were so on the S3 camp for so long.
Yeah.
Is it the thing?
I was sitting at I.O. listening about... You know, the very first thing they talked about was Jelly Bean. And as soon as they were done, I said right then and there, I'm getting the Nexus. I am not going to get the Galaxy S3 because Samsung will probably not give us an update for another 6 months. And I do not want to wait. And this is the Nexus phone that will always get the updates. Mm-hmm. I'm just tired of not having the updates. And I know people are like, you know what? You can root your phone. I did that. And it's fine, but I don't want to do it again. I want the natural updates. So I do love the Galaxy S3. I don't want to discourage anyone from getting that phone. It is an amazing phone. I love it. And I miss it.
Well,
I
and the, The other thing is with the Galaxy Nexus, you actually get your updates faster in a lot of cases than even if you were to. I mean, I root my phone, but I have the stock image on there just because Google pushes that stuff out much more quickly on the Nexus devices than they do. Even then, the Android community can get the images ready to download as part of the ROMs and things. So, I mean, right now, I think we're going to talk about this in a minute, but right now, CyanogenMod's, you know, creating, they don't even have CyanogenMod 9 out yet, and they're already talking about 10, which will be Jelly Bean. So it's going to take them a while to get Jelly Bean out to the masses. So actually, if you really want updates the quickest way is just to run a Nexus phone.
Especially for a ROM like CyanogenMod, where they're supporting so many devices.
Right.
They kind of run into, you know, a similar kind of predicament as some of the kind of manufacturers and the carrier updates and everything, where it's their hands are in so many different pots that it takes, as a result, in aggregate, longer to make the updates to all of those phones. But I am very curious when all of this happened over the weekend, the Galaxy Nexus went away and then it came back. When it came back, I wonder how much sales kind of spiked around it, because people were like, I've been meaning to get it and now I can't. Oh, wait, you're saying I can? Okay, I'm going to get it right now, you know?
Well, all that and the boycott Apple stuff that was going on Google Plus, you know, that really, that's, you know, that plus the... they banned something else, didn't they? One of the tablets or something.
The Galaxy Tab 10.1.
Yeah, I mean, that plus this, I think, really sparked people to be like, you know what, this is bull. Just let it go through. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if sales actually bumped up because of that.
Oh, I'm sure it did. And actually, just worth noting, the Galaxy Tab 10.1 was a part of this as well, as you mentioned. That did not get the ban lifted. So as of right now, that's still unavailable. They allowed the lifting of the ban for the Galaxy Nexus, but not that one. So, but speaking of kind of 4.1 and the updates rolling out to the devices, you can get ready for those ROMs because, as you mentioned, Aaron, yesterday, and I believe this was ahead of their original schedule, the source code for Android 4.1.1, so an incremental update from the original 4.1 release of Jelly Bean, was released to the Android open source project. This means that if you root and you ROM, you can expect some very delicious Jelly Bean action to hit your devices in a matter of, well, who are we kidding? They're probably already out there at this point. Some people are able to turn these around really quick. Jerry Hildenbrand of Android Central actually spent some quality time with the 0.1 incremental update over last night. And as of now, what he was looking at was to see if there were any changes to the way Android treats searching items locally, which is part of that Galaxy Nexus patent case, about that kind of intelligent searching. You know, you do a search and then it gives you information from your phone and allows you to make that actionable information. He posits that Google's changes might appear after, might be part of apps themselves being updated, not necessarily the underlying OS, because it doesn't appear those changes have been made to the 4.1.1 update. So they're still kind of there. That would have been an impressive feat if Google had that quickly made the changes to the code after the fact, but it doesn't appear to be the case. And in related news, Google has reintroduced the Verizon Galaxy Nexus into the AOSP Fold, as well as the Nexus S4G, and they're at this point still keeping Sprint's LTE version of the Galaxy Nexus out of that list. Aaron, could you explain why that is important? Like we talked about this a few months ago when Galaxy Nexus on Verizon was kind of removed from the AOSP, and I think it has something to do with drivers primarily, right?
Well, it's a little bit drivers. I mean, the devices are mostly the same, but there is a different radio, of course, right? Mm-hmm. It's CDMA and Verizon LTE as opposed to HSPA on the other network. So there is the radio part definitely is a difference. And I also think that there was a little bit of a kerfuffle, if you will, between Google and Verizon. I mean, there was all that stuff, the talk about the wallet, how Verizon wasn't going to let them put the wallet in. And, you know, Google's, I mean, if I was on the Android project, I'd be like, you know what? This is supposed to be a Google phone and we're going to do what we want. And so they must have worked some things out in order to allow Google to go ahead and put the Verizon Galaxy Nexus, that version of the firmware back out on as open source. Because I know that there was a lot of talk early on about, you know, it seemed like there was some bad blood going back and forth between Verizon and Google. So I think what happened is they just worked all that out, and that's why they have it back. I haven't seen a report. Obviously, it's out there. People have seen it. You're able to download it, but I haven't seen any reports by anybody, you know, industry reporters or anything saying, hey, we heard that Google cleared up their problems that they had with Verizon, and yeah, that's why it's back out.
Right, yeah, and I'm not entirely sure that that's necessarily the case. I read somewhere that some of their ways that they're allowing it to be back into the AOSP project are actually kind of not experimental, but it almost sounded, as I was reading it, to sound like they were working around some of those things, yeah, and maybe creating their own entry into some of those technologies,
right. Well,
as opposed to using Verizon's like proprietary.
Yeah, I still think there will be two versions, right? Mm-hmm. There'll be the version that you get OTA from Verizon.
Right.
And then, but there's also this official supported version from Google, which is out there, which is, you know, the open source version.
Gotcha.
The version that you get from Verizon is going to be a slightly different image that gets downloaded to your device.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And finally, along this note, actually within the last few hours, Android 4.1.1 began pushing to the Nexus 7. I actually dared enough to go ahead and accept the update. Anytime you do that an hour before a show, you're taking a risk that it fails and suddenly you can't use it for the show. It worked in my case, so thankfully. I mean, it's an official update, so there wasn't a whole lot of risk being taken there. And as well, it's rolling out to the HSPA Plus Galaxy Nexuses. So hopefully that means it's right around the corner for other versions of the Galaxy Nexus brand, like the Verizon.
Yep. I think in that case, the HSPA, if I'm not mistaken, the HSPA version actually comes direct from Google.
Mm-hmm.
They push it out over AT&T's
right,
network.
They're selling that through their play
as
anyways,
opposed to,
right.
Yeah, as opposed to Verizon pushing it out. I believe Google pulls the trigger on that.
Gotcha.
If someone in the chat room knows that, you know, thinks I'm wrong, please let me know. But I believe that's the way it works. Part of the deal that Google had, being able to sell the HSPA version on their own website, means
right,
that they can control those over-the-air updates for that particular phone.
So the HSPA Plus is more Nexus than
even more Nexus.
Nexus.
Yes. More Nexus
more
than
Nexus
the Verizon
than
version.
The other Nexus.
Yes.
Cool. What about this Android botnet stuff?
Yeah, so this was pretty interesting. There was a report that came out about a potential botnet affecting Android phones. And they're some type of malware that's sending spam from Yahoo Mail accounts as part of this botnet. And so this was a pretty interesting article because there's kind of a little bit of finger pointing going back and forth here. Basically, what Google's saying is, this is a quote from Google, they say the evidence does not support the Android botnet claim. Our analysis suggests that spammers are using infected computers and fake mobile signatures to try to bypass anti-spam mechanisms in the email platform they're using. So Google says, no, there's no botnet. We don't have malware on the phones, even though I saw some reports today of some malware showing up in China, some viruses and things hitting some older Android phones in China based on some their markets, various markets that they have, app markets over there being infected. But regardless of that, as far as the Yahoo Mail botnet thing, Google says no way. It's people that are basically spoofing into the network and sending spam, and it looks like it's coming from Android phones, but in actually it's not.
Yeah, and Lookout actually also concurred that it didn't appear to be actually the case. They also went on in further analysis to possibly point the finger at the Yahoo Mail Android app in particular, and unsurprisingly, Yahoo actually insists that the problem is not theirs to hold. So I guess at this point, we really know absolutely nothing about this.
Right.
It's a lot of people, a lot of companies kind of pointing the finger in other directions.
Exactly.
Who actually has a Yahoo email address? Oh, yeah, me.
Yeah. Hey, I have a Yahoo email address, and there have been like a handful, and by a handful, I think I mean two times in the various, you know, many ROMs and instances that I've installed Android on the few phones that I've had. I think two times I've installed that Yahoo Mail app only to see it disappear the next time I flash something else and just never thought of reinstalling it back on. It's kind of a piece.
I've never even installed it. I don't I guess I have a Yahoo. I've got a Yahoo account, so I must have a Yahoo Mail account, yeah. right? But never, ever, ever even logged on to Yahoo Mail. So
it's a spam collection at this point.
Yep. It's kind of like Hotmail, you know? That's where you—that's where you send people when you think you're going to get spam. It's like, oh, here's my Hotmail account.
Yes, exactly.
It is. It's so the uncool email to have, but it was my very, very first email that I ever had, ever.
Yep.
So that's why I have it, and I have, you know, lots of, lots of spam in that account. But like that, when I do all my online shopping, I give that email, not my Gmail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I should change. Maybe I should have a Gmail shopping account or something. But
I do.
To manage. You do?
Yeah, I've got...
See, that's why I have Yahoo. Yahoo's that
okay. So I just use Gmail for that. I've got five different Gmail accounts. Yeah. And I monitor all of them either, you know, some of them I monitor closely. My personal email account I monitor closely. And then I've got the spam accounts that I rarely monitor. And
yeah. Do you sync all of those into your Android device, including your spam account?
They're all in there.
Yeah.
They're all in there. I don't use the combined inbox for them all, but they all have separate inboxes for each one of them. So they're there.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, we have a, well, I guess this isn't necessarily a video question. It's a video answer by our compadre who cannot be here right now, Ron Richards.
Yeah.
We had actually a question from a fan, and Ron is going to go ahead and take it from here and answer the question.
Hey, Jason and Eileen and the rest of the All About Android audience. I'm so sorry I can't be there in studio today for the show. I'm actually down in San Diego getting ready for the San Diego Comic-Con. I'm recording this the night before I left, and that's why you can tell I look overtired and frantic because I still haven't packed yet. What am I going to do? But I really wanted to be involved in the show today, and so I thought I'd answer an email. So let's dive right into it. And this email comes from Salvo from the UK, who says, "Hey, AAA crew. I'm ready to order the new Nexus 7, but the only thing that's holding me back is wondering if the screen would be big enough to read comics without the need to pinch and zoom. What does Mr. Ron Richards think about this? I'm currently a Galaxy Nexus user with Jelly Bean and loving it. Always looking forward to your show. Great job you're doing. Viva Android." Thanks, Salvo, for writing in, and how appropriate to write in as I read that email off of my Nexus 7 tablet that I got at Google I.O. So as many of you probably know, you've heard me talk about, I'm a big comic book fan, and I actually by day work for Graphically, which is a company that handles comic books as well as picture books and the digital conversion for them. And I also run a site called iFanboy.com, which is all about comic books. So have I read comics on the Nexus 7? Of course I have. Do I think it's a good device to read comics? Short answer is yes. The long answer is maybe. It all boils down to what kind of reader you are, what kind of device reader you are. Some people don't have a problem with the smaller size of the Nexus 7. It's 7 inches. It's less screen real estate than a bigger Android tablet like the Nexus Transformer or some of the Sony devices or even some of the Samsung Galaxy Tabs. Also, the iPad is a little bigger. Those give you a nice big screen real estate to look at the art and enjoy it and not really have to do the pinching and zooming to zoom into the art. If you have experienced comics that way and you love it, you might want to hesitate before you get the Nexus 7. That said, I've read books, I've read magazines, and I've read comic books on this thing, and I think it's great. It's handy, it's portable, you can take it on the bus, you can take it on the subway, and if you really want to get close to the art, all you got to do is pinch and zoom. Or a lot of the providers out there like Comixology or iVerse and also Amazon Kindle and Barnes & Noble Nook, they're all carrying comics now, and they also have the ability to navigate by panels, which allows you to control the reading experience by zooming in from one panel to the next panel to the next panel. So if you're worried about the small screen real estate size on the Nexus 7, you might want to look into using the panel navigation, which lets you get closer to the art. Or just get used to pinching and zooming. That's what I do. I don't like that panel navigation. I look at a page. If I want to see more of it, I pinch and zoom. Pinching and zooming is not a bad thing to do. So, but ultimately, your mileage may vary. I think at the price point and for the portability, the Nexus 7 is the way to go for whatever reading you might need to do. I'm a real convert to this device. I'm really loving it ever since I got my hands on it. So, Salvo, let us know what you think. Let us know if you get it. Guys, I'm so sorry I couldn't be there. I'll be there in studio next week with Tales from the San Diego Comic-Con, and I hope you're having a good show, and I'll see you next week.
It's okay, Ron. It's okay. Don't feel bad. We understand. You enjoy comics more than you enjoy Android. Just kidding.
Oh.
Although I really appreciate your comment. Don't worry. It's okay to pinch and zoom.
Pinch and zoom is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
It's okay. Really.
I love pinch and zoom. Come on.
Were you at I.O., first of all? Andrew?
No, I was not.
Aaron, you're not at I.O. this year.
I watched it intently from my chair at home.
All right. Well, I could just speak from my own experience with the Nexus 7. You know, I've read a handful of things on here, and it's just I haven't done any comics on there, but it's a great reading device. So I think anyone that, you know, has any questions as far as, you know, whether it would be good for something like that, I can see maybe comics being a little bit different just maybe. Because it's art heavy, but, you know, Ron has given you the permission to pinch and zoom it.
There you go. Yeah. I got one for my mom actually. It's like the day after I was like, you know what? This looks foolproof enough. I'm going to get one from, I hope she's not watching. It's supposed to be a surprise. Whoops.
Uh-oh.
But yeah.
Does she subscribe?
I don't, she's in DC this week, so I don't think she's watching, but,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's foolproof enough. Like I said, you know, it's great for reading. It's not too heavy for her to hold in her hand. It looks like they've really, you know, sorted out by adding magazines and things like that into the App Store. I mean, all that's kind of coming together. And she doesn't need a rear-facing camera or anything like that. So I think it's great for the average. You know, it's a good Kindle Fire competitor.
That's a solid gift. That's for sure. All right, cool. Let's jump into the hardware. All right, and you've got this one, Aaron, but this is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this is actually something that started surfaced last week. I hope that's the way they say it. I actually didn't watch the video.
I think it's oh, yeah.
But I think it's oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
On my Google Plus, when I first posted about this, when I first heard about it on my Google Plus, I said, booyah, it's ooh, yeah. Because this is so cool. This is a hackable game console. And it's actually being designed by some fairly, you know, people that have some experience in designing some cool hardware, including Vez Behar. I don't know how to say his name. I always read about it, but I never actually tried to say it. But this is a cool little cube. It's a little box, you know, very, I want to say like boxy box-esque box that you can get. But inside this thing is a quad-core Tegra 3, 8 gig of storage, it running Android 4.0. It's got RF wireless gamepad that comes with it with a built-in trackpad, which is very, very cool. And they've just built this, you know, really for gaming and media watching. And the really cool thing is they're going to try to sell it for $99. So, I mean, if you think, you know, of the handsets that we're buying these days with this same technology in it, selling for, you know, $500-$600, you know, they're really trying to get this thing down to the $99 price point, which is really, really incredible. The other thing that I really like about it is it's a very open platform. There's one button that you press on the console and it pops open and it shows you basically, you know, all the guts. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to take out a lot of screws. I'm sure once you get in there's some screws you got to take out. There always is. But, you know, it's really, really hackable and nice. And when you think about the Galaxy Nexus, or it's not the Galaxy Nexus, the Nexus Q that Google came out with at I.O., I mean, this is really what it should have been, in my opinion, is this box right here. Again, it's super easy to hack. It's very, very powerful, connects to everything. And, you know, I love the fact that it actually comes with a gamepad that has, you know, some gamers in mind, so to speak, with the way that it's designed. So this looks really, really cool. I'm excited to pick one up.
Yeah. And you're going to, if you pledge, it's almost looking like, at this point, if you're going to pledge, you better do it soon, because so it's very interesting. We talked about this morning on Tech News Today. That was 10 a.m. And I think at that point, there was 400,000-ish pledged out of a total of their goal is 950,000. I think 2 hours later, that was right under 1 million. Now, you know, it's not very long. It's been maybe 8 hours since Tech News Today started, and they're at 1.6 million pledged. They've totally met their goal. 29 days still left to go in this thing. This sucker is going ballistic.
Wow.
And they do have, you know, a lot of their different levels for pledging are sold out at this point. So if you want to get in on this for $100 and get this game system based on Android, it looks like you better get in there soon, because this thing's happening. This is pretty cool. This is awesome to see how much support this got so quickly.
Yep. And this
what's
really
the lowest pledge number? Sorry, what's the lowest pledge?
Well, $10, but that what is that?
Oh, you just get a username.
Yeah, that just reserves your username. If you actually want the system, the lowest pledge is $95. That's sold out level though. $99 gets you the system, minus a couple of extra accoutrements. Okay. And that has 9,746 remaining out of 20,000 total blocks. So they've already, in less than one day, half of their systems at that price point are already done. The ones above that are all sold out. Most of the other ones are as well. I mean, this thing's going pretty massive.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking about. I don't usually do Kickstarter. I know Leo does all the time, but I don't usually do Kickstarter. I don't have a lot of money to throw around, but this is one that I actually may chip in for because, you know, just think about it. Those controllers by themselves, you can actually use those for other projects. I mean, I'm always doing projects at home, right? So I can use those controllers for anything. Take them on the road with me and just bring my phone and play some games at a hotel or whatever when I'm waiting for things to happen. So, I mean, you know, just on that basis alone, I think it's worth going ahead and getting. There's only 9,718 slots left at the $99 level. So get yours today.
9,000?
Yeah, there's 9,000 out of 20,000 left at the $99 level.
Right. Right, but, less than half.
So you know, besides all this tech stuff and cool stuff about it, I mean, the thing that really gets me, and I mentioned it before, is this is exactly what Google should have done with the Nexus Q, right? I mean, just look how interested people are in this, and it doesn't even have a glowing circle in the middle.
What's interesting to me too, from a design perspective, are all of these units that are coming to market or you know, being shown off, including the Nexus Q, that's an orb. We'll talk about that next. We might as well. That was a little bit later. We'll move it up. And this one that's kind of like a half circle. Like, they're going for these really strange, unique design approaches just from a visual standpoint. It's a cool trend.
Yeah.
So we might as well talk about the Nexus Q because, you know, we kind of already are. You had given me the link, and this is very interesting. The Nexus Q hacked at this point. Now, if you remember at Google I.O., they had teased when they were showing it off the fact that it had a USB for general hackability, in air quotes. Well, obviously, that's already happened, and this thing's going to be hacked nine ways to Sunday for the next few months at least, while developers kind of figure out what they can do and push on this platform. But hacked to run launcher, apps, Netflix, and a bunch more in this case. Pretty cool stuff, but is it $400? Well, no, sorry, $299. Is it $300 cool?
Yeah, I don't think so. It's still really cool that you can do this, right? I mean, I love hackable hardware. It's what I'm all about. And this is actually really, really cool that people are able to basically just get in there, sideload a new launcher, and make it work. I mean, it basically is, you know, the much the same hardware that's in a lot of phones out there today. So just in a very fancy shell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very cool that this worked. I think, you know, I'm going to be looking for one on Craigslist. If I can get one for, you know, $99, maybe $150, then it's definitely worth, I think it's worth your while at that price point to get it. Just seeing it, there's a video that goes along with it. If you go and look at the URL,
on the Verge.
It's on the Verge, yeah. Or you can just look it up or go to my Google Plus page. You find the link there. You know, if you look at the video, you can see exactly what he did. I was expecting the video to be very hackerish, you know, like really like, oh, I had to, you know, put this little file in and
but
run
really
it as root and all
lot.
This stuff.
No.
He didn't do a whole lot. I was like, what? This was on XDA developers? Like, is this worthy of XDA developers? I don't know.
Worthy from the sense that he successfully hacked it and
I guess
is
so.
Doing some pretty cool stuff. But you're right. The steps are pretty straightforward.
Not hard at all. So, you know, I guess this could go either way. You could say kudos to Google for making it that easy to hack into and do something really cool with. But at the same point, I don't mean to harp on him, why didn't they do this from the beginning?
Absolutely.
Why didn't they just come out with it like this at the beginning and say, look, here's our new Google TV device, and it does all this really cool stuff. Oh, and it also, you can put your phone next to it and it plays music. But no, what's really cool, what people want to see is, look, it runs Netflix, and it attaches to your speaker system. It sounds great. It looks great.
Yeah.
That's what makes it cool.
More and more, this thing kind of just has me scratching my head a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy that I have one because, as, you know, people hack it and kind of develop around it and make it, you know, push the limits of the hardware, I'll be able to kind of experience that and experiment with that on my own. But I would never pay $300 for this thing. I just don't think it's worth of that. Even if it looks cool on your dresser. I mean, it's a cool looking device, but that is absolutely not enough.
Yep.
So there's that. So, Eileen, Kindle Fire stuff.
All right. So I've got mine here in my hand.
Oh,
it's a little,
is that
you
the
know,
new
it's...
Kindle Fire?
It's the new Kindle Fire. One of the three that are supposedly coming out. No, this is the old one. This is the old one. I still have it. am planning to put my Nexus 7. I'm getting Ron-itis, remembering the names of these Nexus devices. I'm going to put my Nexus 7 in my Kindle Fire case because it works. I just have to wait for it to actually get to me. But Kindle Fire, yes, apparently there will be a new Kindle Fire in Q3 with an improved display, and not only one, but supposedly three? My gosh. So apparently a Kindle Fire 2, three versions of the 7-inch and possibly an 8.9-inch. So a 7-inch Kindle Fire 2 with a 1024 by 600 display, no camera. A 7-inch Kindle Fire 2, 1280 by 800 display with a camera. A 7-inch Kindle Fire 2 with a 1280 by 800 display with a camera and 4G. It's one thing that I wish the Nexus 7 had was actually some connection. And then possibly an 8.9-inch Kindle Fire 2 with a 1920 by 1200 display. That's for Q4. So, yeah, the three that they're talking about are the 7-inch, and then there's possibly a fourth for Q4. So, I don't think either of you are big Kindle Fire fans, right, Aaron and Jason? Like, I'm the only one that actually has one. I used it for a while, and I will say that the Nexus 7 trumps this in so many ways. It's not even funny. But I'm interested to see what's going to change because in terms of tablet devices, I have been a broken record about how much I love the 7-inch form factor for tablets. So all the 7-inch tablets I've gone crazy for because it's just easier to hold than a 10-inch. And I like to read. I like to just do some quick browsing. And video on it is not so bad, at least in my opinion. I mean, I guess if you have a 10-inch tablet, yes, that's better to watch video like Netflix or any video that you download. But I don't know. I wait to say anything more about these possible new updates to the Kindle Fire until we see them. Yeah. I have no idea. You know, obviously they have the forked version of Android. But I don't know how much more improved they will be. I don't think, you know, these are all rumors by an unnamed source, or this is actually put out by Richard Shim, an analyst at NPD. But, you know, nothing is official yet. And then to just tack on to the rumors about the new Kindle Fire, apparently Amazon is said to plan a new smartphone to vie against the Apple iPhone as well. And that is complete rumor. We don't know if it's true, but I wouldn't be surprised. I have no idea if it's going to be another forked version of Android or whatnot. Or
will it be an Amazon OS?
Yeah, maybe it will be. I have no idea. And a lot of us, I don't know, we don't love it. But, I mean, Amazon is a big brand. They've done pretty well with these, from what I understand. So they have their own little universe, their own little cult amassing and continuing.
Yeah, it's not too little of a cult either. I mean, I know. last holiday, they didn't really have a whole lot of real competition in this space. Mm-hmm. Now they've got pretty big competition. I'll be very curious to see if the Nexus 7 appeals more to people who are already familiar with Android, and if the Kindle Fire appeals to people who just want a $200 tablet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I absolutely agree that the Nexus 7 is the superior tablet right now. We haven't seen any of the new ones, so I guess that remains to be seen. But having a forked version of Android, a severely forked version of Android that, like, you find on the Kindle Fire, just is... It takes away a lot, I think, from the value of it for me. But I think a lot of people out there, a lot of the same people that ended up buying, you know, the Kindle Fire last holiday season, got it because it's Amazon and because they're big fans of Amazon. And it happens to be a tablet that's, you know, that has the Amazon name emblazoned all over it. So it must be Amazon goodness.
I love having the video app on there. Once you have the Kindle Fire, you have Amazon Prime, so you have access, and they've been adding tons and tons of video, music. I buy music all the time on Amazon, not anywhere else. You know, you could rekindle books, obviously. I mean, they have a lot of the ecosystem. I mean, at least I'm a part of that ecosystem, as along with millions of others, that it's already baked in. And if it's just those things that you want, then you have it. And just like customers out there who, you know, we've heard before with reports, do Android people, or regular average consumers really care about updating their OS? Do they really care about getting the ICS, or are they just happy with Gingerbread? There's a lot of that middle ground that can care less and that are honestly shocked when things change. And so that's why I feel like, again, it's that middle range consumer that, you know, update it, make it better. These people are going to buy it. And especially if it's coming out for the holiday season, bam, done. So, yeah, I, like you, Jason, I wonder who the market is for the Nexus 7. Is it just us, hardcore Android people, or are there more that will go out and discover that it is a better device?
Yeah, will that value matter so much to the same people that might buy into the Amazon Kindle Fire?
It is getting some good press and some good reviews. I mean, my mom, who generally doesn't care about it too much, actually, you know, said that she did see a review of this new tablet that came out at Google's conference that they had. You know, what is it? I forget. I think she saw it in the Wall Street Journal or someplace. So it is getting some pretty good reviews. And I think that one of the things, especially with the rumors of the smartphone coming out, I mean, one thing from a business standpoint, I believe, my opinion anyway, is that, you know, this was really their loss leader. You know, Amazon put a lot of development time into coming up with their own forked version. They sold the Kindle Fire at maybe not at a loss, but at least probably at cost. Mm-hmm. They're not making a lot of money off of it, I don't believe. And so these next versions are taking all of that development effort that they put into the Kindle Fire and the market that they've developed for the Kindle Fire and then trying to expand that out. And that's that second version or second wave with new tablets and maybe possibly a phone coming out, that's where they're looking to make their money, is to hit that second wave and, you know, get people that have bought it before buying more and more of these things from them. That's where they're going to make their money. So I'm sure that's what they're looking for, because once they've got the system down, it's pretty easy to roll it into a phone, let's say, for example. All they really have to add is the radio bits. And it looks like if they're already developing a tablet with 4G baked in, then they've already been working on the code for those radio bits if they have to, or picking them up from the vendor that's that they are potentially partnering with. So,
But isn't this great for innovation? I mean, I read this and, you know, I was even more excited that there were three versions, because it's just going to push, you know, other hardware manufacturers and, I don't know, hopefully, you know, the Nexus 7, whatever version from that, whatever version they have next year is even better. You know what I mean? It just pushes everyone. So I love it. Bring it on. Mm-hmm. If this is going to be great, awesome. I want better devices all the time. And I can't afford them all, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, personally, I just hope they spend a little more time working with the kind of the UI approach of the Kindle Fire, because that was really frustrating to me, you know, to put a very different front end on it. And maybe it was frustrating partially because I really am a fan of the vanilla approach, but there were just a lot of things with that were just kind of frustrating to me. And I hope that they iron that out with the second version, because that would stop them dead in their tracks. If people get it and they're frustrated with the experience, you know, let alone the value. But if the experience sucks, then they're probably not going to buy an Amazon tablet.
If the experience sucks and there's only one game in town at the $200 price level, it's one thing. But if the experience sucks and there's two or three of these out there for $200, then people are going to say, you know what? I'm not going to buy another one of these for my son, daughter, mother, whatever. I'm going to buy this other one because it doesn't frustrate me as much.
Totally.
But did most people think that the experience sucked?
Yeah, I guess that's a question that I have. I don't know. That was just kind of my feeling.
Yeah, but see, you're a hardcore user. Also, iPad users who tried the device, you know, going from a higher end to a lower end, $200, they were all frustrated. So that's another section. But then there's just the middle people who never had an iPad, who never had anything. I really feel like they can, you know, they had their music, they had their video, they had some apps, they're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, in my own experience, I can only use my wife as an example here, because I got her a Kindle Fire for the holidays and she used it a couple of times. And I mean, yeah, she wasn't that thrilled with the experience. I imagine if she was, she probably would have used it a lot more. Now, this Nexus 7 is going her way, because I went and broke her Kindle Fire when I tried to root it for her. So she's going to get this, but she's played around with this and she actually really likes it. So the experience does mean something to people that don't live and breathe Android. Absolutely. Well, speaking of the Nexus 7, if you are outside of the U.S., Don't expect full access to the Play Store features that you saw at I.O. The UK is going to retain access to apps, movie rentals, ebooks, and devices. However, movie purchases, TV shows, and magazines, no go. That content is also missing from Canada and Australian pages, though I don't know if there's any word yet whether that content will actually be there in those places. Google's mum about when to expect those features, but we expect a good amount of international licensing to happen before then. So, which is kind of a bummer because that's kind of a big part of this whole Nexus 7, you know, image or this whole Nexus 7 kind of effort on Google's part is, hey, look, it's competing with the Kindle Fire also on content because we've added all these great things. Unfortunately, if you're in some places of the world, you don't get that yet. You will eventually, I'm sure. It just might take some time. So
I remember them saying as part of Google I/O when they were releasing those or talking about those things that were coming up in Jelly Bean, they were pretty careful to say, this is U.S. only, or,
yeah,
you know,
right.
I remember over and over again thinking, man, this is like, if you live in the U.S., great. If not, you know, it sucks to be you.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those things that seem like were coming pretty soon, some of them they didn't give a date. They just said it's available at release, U.S. only, and other countries soon, you know. So I think it's not really an Android thing necessarily. All companies have to deal with those types
absolutely.
Of licensing restrictions and different contracts and things. So it just
never
happens,
as easy
unfortunately.
As it should
be. It's just, it's always easier in the country that produces the hardware to get those agreements up front.
Yeah. And Cosmos in the chat room points out, at least it's being released over here, unlike the Kindle Fire. So there's that.
Right, right. Yeah.
So at least they're getting the hardware. I actually did a review of the Nexus 7. You can check it out on this week's Before You Buy, twit.tv/BYB, or you can find it on YouTube under the Twit channel. No surprise, I gave it a glowing review. It's a fantastic tablet, and I highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't already decided and or purchased or pre-ordered their device. So check it out. Nexus 7, awesome.
Oh, and by the way, with the Nexus 7, you can watch video. You can watch Amazon content.
Yes.
I did using the Dolphin HD browser. So people were wondering about that.
Well,
it took me, I don't know, the first time I tried it, it didn't happen. And then I thought, oh, wow, it doesn't work at all. But then, I don't know, maybe it was my connection that night. But the second time I tried it on Dolphin, it's the only browser that I was able to get Amazon video to Prime video or any video to work. But
okay. And that's because of the flash limitation?
Yeah. On Chrome, yeah. And then I tried other browsers, and I don't know, it wasn't quite working out. But Dolphin HD for sure, maybe the other browsers will catch up. And
yeah, I know that later. I know that we meant to mention it on last week's episode, and I can't remember whether we did or not, the fact that Adobe has officially said their
right.
support of Flash stops with Jelly Bean. They're not supporting Jelly Bean. If you have Jelly Bean, you're probably not going to find Flash in the Android market. They are hiding it from you so that it won't be installed for you, so that they don't have to provide support for that. So that becomes kind of a tricky scenario because Flash does work on it. I have it installed because I had it, you know, installed, and it was not difficult for me to put it on there. But you know, for the average person, it might get to the point to where if you want Flash on here and you have Jelly Bean, you're going to have to sideload an APK or something.
Right.
That'd probably be very easy to do, but just know that that's what you're going to have to do and use a different browser. Chrome doesn't support Flash.
So. Well, and with Adobe saying they're not going to develop Flash anymore after this release for Android, they're stopping development. So,
right.
You know, everybody's going to be out of luck pretty soon, so. Move to HTML5.
Exactly. Can the future be here now? You know, I don't really give a rat's crap about Flash at this point, but I just want everybody else to upgrade their website to watch them on Chrome or any browser, the video, that is.
Yeah.
All right, should we move on to email?
Let's do it.
This is a video email from Scott, who has a question about Bluetooth support on Jelly Bean.
Hi, All About Android gang. I'm Scott from Southern California in the beautiful wine country area of Temecula. My wife and I have been Android users since the original Motorola Droid came out. Currently, both of us have the Samsung Galaxy Nexus on Verizon, and we use the Plantronics Voyager Pro Plus Bluetooth headset. The lack of the ability for Android to integrate seamlessly with Bluetooth accessories, voice input and control is very frustrating. Simple actions like voice typing, voice search, or voice dialing doesn't work or work well over Bluetooth. While Voice Dialer is included, it isn't a very polished product. My desire would have seamless integration with Bluetooth voice input anywhere you find the microphone input icon, such as on any of the keyboard applications. Since you've been privileged enough to gain access to Jelly Bean 4.1 on your Google I/O Galaxy Nexus, do you know if this issue is resolved in the new release? I haven't found any mention of this in the reviews or articles about 4.1. If not, do you know of any custom ROM such as Cyanogen mod that resolves this issue, or is there an app out there that will take care of this? Thanks, Scott in Temecula.
All right, Scott. I know. I don't think we have an answer for you. You know what? I need to get a Bluetooth device because we have so many questions about Bluetooth. I think we've mentioned it a couple times, and we've been kind of, I don't know, not glossing over it, but, you know, I don't use a Bluetooth device. I don't use a headset or anything like that, so I'm not quite familiar. But we did some research here, and Jelly Bean adds the ability for app developers to choose where to route audio to, including A2DP Bluetooth devices, which is nice. Jelly Bean also adds support for media transfer via Bluetooth, but I don't think that solves your issue, right?
It's nope.
A big deal. I did a little bit of research. I didn't find anything yet. And then a custom ROM, I'm not quite sure. Do you know of any, Jason?
No, I don't know of any custom ROMs that tackle this particularly. It is a very big kind of oversight that Google hasn't really focused any attention on this. I was actually playing around with this earlier today to kind of wrap my head around it again, because it had been a while since I'd used a Bluetooth device to like make calls with my phone. And I mean, even the voice dialer is so like, it's not the same voice dialer that you would get if you go to Google Now and do a search. There's no way to route your Bluetooth device to open up Google Now and Jelly Bean, for example, mm-hmm. instead of just doing voice dialer. It's very limited to just being a voice dialer, and half the time, like, it gets it wrong. And I'm not sure why it's different results there versus other parts of the OS when you're not using Bluetooth. But there's no real way to do voice input via your Bluetooth device that I could find. It's just kind of lacking. You kind of want that freedom with a hands-free device.
In terms of a custom ROM, I'm sure that's coming. You know, it's only been a few weeks since we've had Jelly Bean. So
yeah, I mean, it's hard to say whether a custom ROM based on Jelly Bean will be able to do some of these things, or whether it's just kind of a limitation as it is right now. I haven't heard of it so far, and I'm not sure if there are any features in Jelly Bean that could kind of be tweaked to force it to work in custom ROMs either, but hey, you never know.
And so that's another reason why I put that question out there, put his question out there. So if anybody knows, please write in and we'll forward the answer to Scott, or we'll, talk about it on another, maybe next week's episode. So help him out. Help a guy out.
Help. Let us know. All right. Let's get into some apps. Why don't we? All right. So this was, I was seeing this in the feeds a little bit earlier, and I'm not too familiar with GitHub, but I figured, Aaron, you probably would be.
Yep, definitely. GitHub is a great project. If you don't know what GitHub is, GitHub is a source code management system championed by Linus Torvalds on the early on, and people have really flocked to it. It does a great job of keeping track of open source software, the changes as people submit them. Obviously, on a big project, you've got lots of developers submitting code, and GitHub is a way that people can host that code on the web if they want to. So it ties in with Git repositories, and GitHub is the way that you can go if you've ever been looking for an obscure Linux software. Like I was on GitHub just earlier today, actually, some obscure Linux code that you want to run on your machine. You've probably been to GitHub because that's where a lot of it is hosted. So now that we have the explanation of what Git and GitHub is, there is a very cool app. It's an awesome app. GitHub actually released this app for Android, and it basically lets you keep up with your projects on the go. So instead of having to open up the web page, which may or may not be converted for mobile, mm-hmm. you can actually just open up the app and see what the latest progress is on a particular app, or track bugs or open issues, things like that may be happening right now for your particular project. So you can get in there, you know, maybe you're at the airport or something and you don't really don't want to start your laptop, whatever. It's a really quick way just to get in and say, oh, look, so-and-so fixed that bug that we had in this particular version and now it works. So it's a great way to keep up with what's going on your particular software project, open source software project. So that is really cool for open source software developers. I highly recommend it.
Excellent. Yeah, it's getting a lot of buzz because it actually looks really good. It's kind of a great nice UI approach. And then also, I saw you were kind of chatting a little bit about VLC. We talked about it a little bit last week, but because we can't download it in the U.S., we weren't able to get a hold of it. Were you able to?
Yeah, you can download it. You just have to download it from their nightly builds.
Gotcha.
I've got it on my phone somewhere here. Let's see if I can find it here. It was released in the in certain European countries because they don't have some of the restrictions that, mm-hmm. that we do. But you were able to find it. If you go to VLC, I think it's videoland.org/nightlies/builds, and then look in the nightly builds, you'll actually be able to find it. The reason I wanted to bring it up is because after we were just talking about HTML5 and some people were saying, oh, Twit uses Flash, they don't have HTML5 and things like that. The one thing that Twit does, and I do this all the time actually, the one thing that Twit does have is they have the streams, the link to the streams or the link to the video files mm-hmm. right alongside the the episode that you're interested in. Right. And the great thing about that is with VLC, and I tried this on VLC on my phone actually, it does work. If you put in a stream, HTML stream to a file, it'll actually stream that right to VLC, right to your phone.
Yeah, so that's something you can do with the desktop version of that as well.
And it's right in the one of the options to open a new file is to open an HTML stream. So I know it's not HTML5, but it's a little off topic, but there are other ways to get to those files. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, if it's something like Twit that gives you those files for free. Obviously, something like Amazon isn't going to do that. So they've got to actually, that's why it's so frustrating. But definitely check out VLC. I mean, VLC is the de facto video player that I use on Windows, Linux. I don't really use Mac. I don't think I've ever used it on Mac just because I'm not on Mac OS, but it does work on Mac OS as well.
Yeah, for sure. VLC is kind of the standard, the app that you open when you have a video that you know, it's a file that you're not quite sure you have a codec for, or you're not sure if it's going to play. It's probably going to play in VLC. It almost always does.
Almost always.
In one way, shape, or form. So, but there are other kind of players on Android that do this type of stuff, MX Player,
absolutely.
Rock Player, stuff like that. VLC just has a really good reputation for being the Swiss Army knife of video for the most part.
Right. And people have been dying for that for a long time. I mean, so many people use VLC. It's one of the probably the most requested mm-hmm. Apps that people have been waiting for. And the rumors have been circulating, and now finally there's actually code to back it up. So
absolutely.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, cool. Thanks for reading that. Let's see here. We've got actually another tip kind of along these lines. This is a tip from Daniel who emailed in. Said, I figured out something that I thought I'd mention in case you want to pass it on. I figured out how to get Leo's Twit calendar of scheduled shows into my Android calendar. I took the following string. I'm not going to read you the string because it's really long. But if you want to find it, go to twit.tv/AAA67. That's the show page for this episode. Down at the very bottom in the related links section, there's going to be a link that says show notes. I'm posting the full show notes for every episode now down there on each of the show pages. Yay. So check it out. twit.tv/AAA67. You'll find the string that you put in. I'll continue reading. You copy this out of the shared URL for his calendar and used it in the options buried deep in Google Calendar Online. It's settings, calendar settings, browse interesting calendars, add a friend's calendar to add it to a friend's email address. Now I can view it along with my own calendars in read-only format and stay up to date on future changes when you guys visit me via Roku. And I'm assuming he's kind of syncing that on his Android device so that he can see the schedule. So if you're ever wondering, because we've had a lot of changes, by the way, in our Twit schedule, the live schedule in particular, that's one way to kind of keep up with it because that's always up to date. So check our show notes, twit.tv/AAA67 in this case, and you'll see how Daniel did that. Thanks for sharing that tip. Appreciate it. All right, enough of this being nice stuff. Let's get into the Android arena.
Two enter, one lives. The Android arena.
I feel relief. feel relief because though my demonstration failed miserably the first time, Tapestry went on to win. Tapestry came in first at 34%. Pickframe, close second at 29%. War Games, pretty close third place at 23%. It's a pretty close game all around. Logmein Ignition, fourth at 14%. You know, Logmein Ignition is just an expensive app altogether. It does some pretty cool stuff, but it's beyond beyond the normal definition of expensive on Android. It's $30. That's pretty expensive no matter how you slice it.
Yep.
But very cool nonetheless. But yes, Tapestry. I'm very happy that my demo fail didn't completely shoot that one in the foot in the running. And I'm sure Alan Tsai, who pretty much heads up that effort over there, agrees. So congratulations to Tapestry. War Games, by the way, is a lot of fun, Eileen. I like that game a lot.
Oh, good. Yay. Yeah. I still can't beat David Matthew Broderick.
He's a pretty smart kid.
He really is. He just constantly kills me every single time. Dang him.
So this week, in a strange, it's not a full-on coincidence, because I'd say three out of the four, and I'll tell you what I mean by four in a second, but three out of the four entries are games. Aaron, when you sent me yours, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a game, because there are a few apps that have a name similar to the app that you chose. It is not a game. So it's three games and then a real-life game.
Right.
Real-life, useful.
Like the game of life.
Yes, a game of life. But Eileen, let's go ahead and start with yours. I'll go ahead and fire up my phone here, and actually, if I can steal the MHL, yep. And go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, it is a free game, and I am apologizing now if I say the name wrong. Gyro, probably?
Gyro or Hero?
Or is it Gyro, like the food? G-Y-R-O. And so there it is on your screen if you're watching. G-Y-R-O, Gyro. Gyro?
I'm thinking Gyro.
Gyro. I'm thinking Gyro, too. All right. So, essentially, there's a circle, there's a yellow, there's a blue, and there's a pinkish. The circle itself is divided into thirds with yellow, blue, and a pink. And basically, your objective is to catch little balls flying towards the circle, but catch the balls flying towards the circle are the color that you should match it up with. So if you're watching the video stream now, all you do is turn the circle around to catch the same colored ball coming at you. It kind of looks like Simon, right? The old
kind of does.
Simon. And you just keep going until you lose, and then you lose outright, and then it gets weirder and weirder and faster and faster, and sometimes the balls have like extra save points to keep you up longer if you've lost a lot of points that might completely kill your game. It's a free app in the App Store. Apparently, see, you're at 712 right now, and it's getting harder and harder. Apparently, at like 15,000, there's like an 8-bit version that you unlock. I'm like, how do you get to 15,000? I don't know how to get to 15,000. I can barely get past 5,000, and so. So it's a simple game. Again, you can turn the circle. It's you can actually put your finger on the circle and turn it around left, clockwise or counterclockwise. Or you could use your finger at the bottom of the bar where the point is down there and just kind of slide it left and right. It'll turn the circle as well.
That turns it faster even.
It turns it faster, yeah. So and you might need it. I'm still kind of like working out my coordination skills with this game, but it was really fun. It's one of those, you eventually die, CR1 is asking me. Are you dead?
Oh, no, I hit, apparently I launched Google into now. Google Now or something. I got too close to the home button. Sorry about that.
So there's some sound, there's some music, there's some vibration too on the game itself. So when you accidentally mess up, you feel the vibrations as well. You could put the info bar on top. If that's better for you. There's also a colorblind mode. So is anybody there colorblind, Jason, Aaron?
I am not.
Chad?
No.
No. Okay. No. All right. Well, if you were, there's a colorblind mode. I'm not quite sure. I'm not colorblind, so I'm not sure if it works or not. But it's a good sort of coordination eye kind of thing, right? I don't know. I like it. It's really fun. It's got a lot of really good positive reviews in the App Store as well, and people seem to love it. Oh, I love this review on the Google Play Store. A great time waster. So yeah, when you're sitting at the airport, delayed once again, maybe try Gyro.
Yeah, this is kind of addicting, actually.
Yeah, you just keep, and it's addicting. I'm pretty good at finding those.
Yeah, you are.
They're very simple, but this is my new Triple Town, my new Temple Run. you guys know those casual games that I like out there.
Yeah.
This is it. And isn't there some music? Or can
there,
we not hear
there
it?
Is, but I couldn't get the chord to reach. I'll work on that. Sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay.
Yeah, it's great music.
It's sort of ambient kind of thing, but it's nice. Yeah. But yeah, when you get it wrong, boy, your whole phone vibrates. And
it kind of freaks you out a little bit. See?
Kind of feel bad, right? Yeah. See, Jason can't stop.
I can't stop. I'm going to die. This is a great game. I love the simplicity of it.
Yeah, it's super simple. I'm surprised it took me that long just to describe it. Should have gone shorter, but I'm just trying to sell it, people. I'm trying to sell Gyro to you. Sub by Submarine Machine Factory, an indie game developer. I'm sorry if I butchered the name.
Oh,
if you intended it to be something else, but awesome game. Love it. Thank you.
Boom. And I'm done.
Oh, there's your score.
Okay.
You can post it to Facebook and all.
Allow me to go ahead and put Raygun 01 in here.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Or Raygun. Okay. Stripped off the 01. I guess I'll accept that. All right. Cool. That is Gyro or Hero, depending on how delicious, how hungry you are.
Yeah. Depending on how delicious it is.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, you are up next.
All right, so my app is something I picked up on Lifehacker this week, and I tried it out this week just to see if it would really work, and it actually does work. I tried it out today, actually. So the app is called Bounce, and it's free on the Google Play Store. It is in beta, so just so you know, maybe kind of, I don't know about beta. I love beta, so it doesn't bother me at all. But, you probably get a lot of updates with it. In fact, it says right on the description on the website, you're going to get lots of updates. So so what Bounce is it's a kind of a reminder app. It takes a look at your calendar on your Android device, and it automatically looks for things like traffic patterns that might be bad or weather, inclement weather, things like that. And it reminds you earlier or, based on, or maybe if there's no problems, just based on how long it takes to get to a place, it reminds you when to leave.
Oh, okay.
So it says, for example, on my phone, I've got some notifications here because I had some things on my calendar today. I don't know if that's, there we go. So you can see that Bounce reminded me, I had an appointment on my calendar. I was supposed to go to a maker meetup today and I canceled just to be here with you guys. But it reminded me anyway that it was time to leave. And it reminded me based on how long it took to get to the place, in this case, 926 Howard Street in San Francisco. And it also added on some time for me to get from my chair where I parked my butt to my car, which was parked outside. And it works out really great. Whoops, sorry about that. It works out really great like that. You can click on it and it'll automatically bring up Google Navigation in a second and get you right to the driving directions. So when you click on the notification, it automatically pops up. So it's a really great, if you're late for things like I am, it's a really great app. We'll keep the sound off. I'll show you what happens is if you actually click on the Bounce icon on your in your app folder, it actually brings up stuff that it doesn't have an address for, and you can go in and set an address if you need to.
Is that signified by the red or?
Right. So the red thing, it depends on what it is. It'll either be red, like I couldn't find it at all. Like those are all my work stuff. And then it'll be yellow if it thinks that it finds a match. So it'll go out and actually try to match up whatever it is. In this case, it's just my team meetings. But it thinks it's found a match for my team meetings, which it didn't. I think there's some green ones in here, though, too. So, there's one in here that has San Francisco, California. So that one's green. It knows exactly where it is. You can be relatively confident it's going to give you good advice for when to leave for that one. If you go into settings, there's just a few things you can adjust. There's not a whole lot at this point. The first one is let me know. Oh, you can select your calendars too. So I told you I've got a lot of accounts in here. You can see I've got a lot of different calendars linked up and you can select those if you don't want to monitor all of them. And then you can also say, give me a reminder 30 minutes before I need to leave. And you can also select you know, how long do I need to get to my car? You know, how long do I need to get from where I'm at now to my vehicle? So add 10 minutes onto every trip just so that I have time to get from, you know, my office to the car.
Padding, yeah.
A little bit of padding. And that's it. And it works pretty good. It's done really well. It hasn't been intrusive. I mean, it hasn't sent me notifications that I didn't want. It's actually done really good in the few days that I've been using it. So if you need something like this, I certainly do. I'm always late for stuff, and this is actually going to really save me a lot of time. Now, I should say that when Google Now, when you have Jelly Bean and you can use Google Now, there's also some features there that do some similar things, but I don't think they have like the padding feature, for example,
and
things like that. So, and this is taken right from your calendar. So it's not really from your, you know, Google Now. It looks at your calendar, but it also looks at your daily habits, what your commutes are, things like that, and tries to get you going that way. This one does it a little bit differently based on the address that you put in your calendar appointments. So check it out. I think it's really cool, and it'll be really nice to see. I think it has a lot of room to grow, too.
Yeah.
It is in beta. There's a lot of things they could add here. So I think it's going to be really cool to see where they take the app.
Could you see yourself getting more detail-driven in your calendar invites? To allow it to be more.
Yeah, I already have started putting addresses in. It's like, oh, it only takes a second longer to put an address in. Yeah. And then I get this extra bonus feature, right, by using Bounce that tells me exactly when I need to leave.
Right.
And because they do monitor things like traffic and things like that, it really helps a lot. So I definitely will be putting more of the actual address information in my calendar entries from now on.
Awesome. Yep. I had a hard time finding this in the Play Store. So if you do a search for Bounce GPS calendar, you should find it pretty easily that way. But it is called Bounce. But just search for Bounce GPS calendar. We'll have the links in the show notes for that as well. Cool stuff. All right. So I said we're going to have four people. That's because our technical director and overall awesome guy, Chad, OMG Chad.
Thanks.
Is going to join us for an app in the arena. You mentioned this app a few weeks ago to me, and it's an awesome app. I don't run. So.
Right. So the base idea of this app is that it's a fitness app. And I wanted to start running, and I wanted to start getting a little bit more fit, but finding the motivation to do that was incredibly difficult for me. So I had heard about this app. I downloaded it, and I really enjoyed it. It is called Zombies Run. It's in the App Store for $7.99. And the idea of this app is that you're going to be doing gamification of your runs in a way that I've never seen before. It has some awesome, awesome stories. So first, let's get into the fitness stuff. It'll track your movements through GPS, records all that, and you can go back and check that later. It will calculate your speed and your pace per minute. And then also it'll also calculate your calories burned, so you can keep track of that. That's kind of the boring part of this app. Let me go ahead and show it off. Zombies Run, so is the name of the app. So I hope that you really, really enjoy zombies. So the idea is that you're a runner that has just been introduced to that's just been introduced to a new town called Able. And so you're trying to help out the town of Able in any way that you can, and most people will become runners in the town. So here I have, you can actually see your town. So if you hit supplies, you can check out your town. It's small. You can actually level up your town. But let's not get into this right now. To start your run, you'd go into missions. And you can see I've already completed some of them. Let's go ahead. There's some that I haven't unlocked yet because I haven't gotten that far in the story. These are spoilers that I'm not allowed to look at yet. But let's go ahead and do one that this one I started, but then I had to stop because I was starting to get a cramp. So I stopped this one. So let's go ahead and start this one up. You get to choose a playlist. You can use Winamp or the older version of the base music app, the Android music app. I'm going to turn on shuffle mode because I like shuffling my music, and then also GPS tracking. Now, then you also get a feature called zombie chases. So if the app determines that it wants to give you a little bit of a push, it will send a zombie to chase you to motivate you along the run. Now, I'm not going to do that because for me, it's hard. It's so hard. So you can walk. You can do whatever you want to with this. So I'm going to actually turn that off, and I'm going to go ahead and let's say continue the mission. So I'm going to let you hear it.
Mm-mm-mm. First, tell Justin Miles, runner 18, on the door to raise the gates.
Raise the gates.
Then ask if runner 5 is ready.
Runner 5, ready?
What do I do if runner 5's not ready?
No, runner 5's always ready.
So the gates are open.
So I'm going to go ahead and stop that. Their missions, their audio acting, their voice acting is actually really, really good. And so it's gotten me into the story of Abel and this town. And all I really like, I've been so motivated to get out there and run just to hear the next parts of the stories. There's twists, there's turns, there's characters that you tend to like, and there's characters that seem to be against you. It gets incredibly, incredibly interesting throughout the thing, throughout the story. And then also, if you so you go through, and what happens is you'll listen to a part of the story, and then it'll play a music from your playlist. And then after that song is done, it goes into the next part of the story. So with my music, I will get about through 2 miles, and that's about an entire mission length, and that takes around 30 minutes for me. And then after the completion of the mission, it goes into what's called Abel Radio, and you get these two DJs that will goof around on the radio, and so the story continues even after your mission is complete. And then finally, what I wanted to show off is you can upgrade your town. So while you're running, you're also collecting items to place back into your town and upgrade it. So you can see, like, my food is level 1 here. This is the hospital. So I have bandages. Bandages go into the hospital here. Let's see. Actually, let's focus on food here. I'm going to give them bottled water. I'd like to upgrade one of these. So let's give it some canned food. That looks good. I'm kind of out. So let's give them a fuel can and a sports bra and underwear, and there you go. Now my food just got upgraded, and you can tell that it upgraded within the town. So making my town healthier is something that I'm really motivated to do. The very last thing that I really enjoy about this app is that they have a feature called Zombie Link. So if you sign up for an account and then you sync your app and the data, you can go to the website and you get all your information in a much easier to understand form.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can see which items you collected in your run. You can see this was a 2-mile run. It took me 30 minutes. My average was, it looks like, 4.2 miles an hour. That's not really that great. So I can track my progress to see if I run faster or not. Now, you can even click into these, and I'm not going to because it would show my home address, but you can click into them, and you can see, based off of, like, what music was playing at the time, where you collected certain items, and a curve of how fast you were running and how slow you were running. So if there was a moment that you were walking for an awful lot, it'll show you that as well. So that's Zombies Run. It's in the App Store for $7.99. Highly worth it if you want to start running and you just can't get motivated. I really, really enjoy this app.
That's cool. I think what I appreciate about that too, like $7.99, I saw some people in the chat room like $7.99, that's kind of expensive. But, you know, if you are looking to get motivated fitness wise, that might not be too much for you. A,
not at all.
And B, there are so many stories involved in
right
there. Like when you're scanning through the list, there's so much that you haven't done already. Just the gamification of fitness,
yeah,
in general, and is just such a cool idea.
For anyone who thinks that $7.99 is too much, look into how much it costs to get a gym membership. Because this,
yeah,
is what I'm doing instead of spending $50, $60 on a gym membership.
Sure.
Even $10 a month on a gym membership. This app will last me months and months and months.
That's cool.
I love the fact that the zombies can chase you. Like the
yes
next time you do
yes
it, right? the zombies will chase you if you and like, you know, and mirror your what you did the last time, so it makes you run faster the next time because they're chasing you.
Because yeah. they're learning.
Yeah, at least that's what it said on the site. I don't know. Yeah. If you, I don't know if you tried that out yet, but it looks like they can chase you.
And just if you're interested, when they catch you, you don't die. You drop. Oh. You drop one of the items that you collected. So there is motivation to get away from the zombies. Wow.
Because then you have to redo it to gain those items.
Right.
Again, right.
So you're not going to die. You're not going to lose your mission. You're just going to drop an item, and the zombies will get distracted, and then you can continue running.
That's awesome.
So wait a minute. You're not going to die in real life. If
I hope, and you know, it's so funny because while I'm running, like I'm looking around like for zombies, and I'm like, oh, there must be a hospital around the next. Oh, yeah, wait, this is just a game. And yeah,
for full, you don't full run effect, at night anymore.
Yeah, exactly. For full effect, you need to run in the evening time when it's
can
totally
only
dark
do this
outside.
In the daytime.
It might actually inspire you to run even faster. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for showing off app. I thought that was a fantastic app and totally needed to be on the show. I didn't know that you were going to do your review this week, but it actually ties right into mine. I'm doing a game as well, and it's a zombie game. It's called Dead Trigger, and this is actually by the same developers, Madfinger Games. They did Shadowgun, which was a pretty popular Android game. This actually just came out. It's 99 cents, and I'll forewarn you, there are in-app purchases if you are so inclined. It's one of those games where if you want to, you can drop some money inside the game and, you know, get gain coins and stuff like that, or you can just play through it and get really good at it and all that kind of stuff and take your time through it. It's a first person kind of shooter style game. Let me see if I can let me swap my hand around here and hopefully find a comfortable zone to do this. So it's called Dead Trigger. I have it on my Nexus 7 and it actually performs really well on the Nexus 7. Been playing through it a little bit. I'll go ahead and hop into this quest right here. You can do your standard things like, you know, equip different guns and everything as you gain more power-ups and stuff. I'll go ahead and accept, turn up the volume because I think I turned it down so that I could preload it. Sorry, it's loading here. There's a little bit of load time on some of these levels, so keep that in mind. But the graphics are really good. On your left hand, you know, no matter where you drop your thumb, it kind of moves you. Your right hand, you can aim and stuff, or I can shoot. Obviously, if I shoot for the head, I get a headshot bonus, and that drops the zombies immediately. It's just kind of a fun first-person shooter, and it really shows off kind of the capabilities of an amply powered Android device for gaming. And actually, I think it's the perfect game for a Nexus 7. I haven't played it on my Galaxy Nexus yet, but I'm sure it plays wonderfully. I saw a lot of reviews saying so. But the Nexus 7, this was just one really good instance of how good this tablet is for gaming. It's the perfect size for it. Your hands, you know, you don't feel like you're hulking around this gigantic book-sized thing, but it's bigger than your phone, so it allows you to kind of see the detail and everything. But the graphics are really smooth. Excuse me. You know, it has all the power-ups if that's kind of what you're looking for, a huge map that you can kind of play through, and it just kind of, you know, it has that kind of spooky zombie feeling that, of course, I'm doing horrible playing and talking at the same time. It's typical. But it's just kind of a fun zombie game, and at 99 cents, you really can't go wrong. It does not cost much to get into this game and start playing. There we go. And I want to get close to a zombie and show you one thing about them. Hold on here. If I can get really close. Come on. Get
without
close.
Dying.
There we go. So this is like eye poke mode. So I have to hit all the things and then I can get rid of the zombies. And apologies to people who might be a little squeamish because this game is a little graphic. But it's a lot of fun. And it kind of reminds me of the old days when I was playing Resident Evil and stuff. And wow, I really sucked on this demo. Apologies about that. But I'm not going to play too much more. You kind of get the point. It's called Dead Trigger. It's Madfinger Games. It's 99 cents. And it's a really good first-person shooter on Android. I highly recommend you check it out.
Does it work also on phones, or is it?
Yeah. I know it works on the Nexus, on the Galaxy Nexus. I haven't loaded it on there yet. But I saw plenty of comments in, cool, you know, on the Play Store entry that said that it works wonderfully. And yes, Reposter in the chat room is asking, is it playable without in-app purchases? Absolutely, it is. It's 99 cents for the app. You can play through it and just gain coins and experience and everything as you play through it, or you can drop your hard-earned cash for fake cash and then, you know, get power-ups and stuff like that. I'm not too much into that. I know some people are, but there are two ways to go about it, and it just came out. It's fantastic. It's especially good for Tegra 3 devices, which the Nexus 7 is. It supports extended effects, including these really cool kind of like water drippy effects that drip over the view and kind of obscure your view in certain places and, you know, kind of adds to that little spooky zombie effect of the game. So
is this the one that they showed in at Google
yes.
I.O.?
Well, actually, or... did they show this? No, this is not the one they showed
okay,
at Google
it looks
I.O.
really similar.
No, man, I can't remember what the name of that one was that they showed at I.O., but it wasn't Dead Trigger.
It was another zombie one.
Maybe it was. Was it? I didn't think that they had showed this off there, but it's possible. I know that they showed something else too, though. The one I'm thinking of isn't this.
Okay.
They definitely showed off they went into detail as far as like how it was scaling the graphics and everything. And that was not this for sure.
Right.
But they may have showed this at another point of I.O. But again, that's Dead Trigger. So we have four great apps for you to choose from this week. And let us know of your favorite. Gyro or Euro or Hero. Who knows? But it's G-Y-R-O, and it's pretty cool. Bounce, GPS, was Aaron's app. Zombies, Run, was OMG Chad's app. And mine was Dead Trigger. You can vote at bit.ly/67AAA poll. That's bit.ly/67AAA poll, and you can let us know which of these four was your favorite this week. I think that's it for this week. The only thing that we didn't talk about that I know some people were hoping we would was the Samsung Galaxy S3 Developer Edition. Did you hear about that?
The Verizon version is locked, and then there is a developer version for Verizon. So there's an article from Android Central that was sent to me, and just saying, oh, hey, there's going to be a developer-friendly edition for the S3 on Verizon. You look at the comments, they're like, what the? Why did I order the other one? Arr! A little angry. It's kind of comical, honestly. So... there you go. We've talked about it, sort of. But
cool.
There is, yeah.
That's awesome.
I wanted to put that out there. Yeah, I wanted to mention it's awesome. I just feel bad for people who've already pre-ordered or whatever. Maybe they could change it. Maybe you could still change your order, right?
Maybe.
Might be too late. It might be already in the system. Or maybe this isn't available to order yet. And so
do we know,
just announced.
Do we know what's different about the developer?
The unlocked bootloader.
It's already unlocked? Like it's pre
or it's
pre-unlocked, pre-rooted?
Let's see here. I just saw it through. They say hacker friendly. So what does that entail? The special edition device features a user unlockable bootloader.
And the other one doesn't?
I guess not.
Ooh.
The other US versions all ship with... unlockable bootloaders, but not Verizon. Samsung apparently has decided to take matters in their own hands, says Phil Nickinson at Android Central. So that's the difference, is that the other ones are, Verizon's isn't, until now.
Until now
it is.
Now
the
you
developer
can get
edition.
One
it's not the first time that they've done that on Verizon,
not
Samsung specifically, but I think Motorola has done this as well on Verizon.
Awesome.
And just a quick clarification, who was it? It was Reposter in the chat room, did post a link to the I.O. games, and yes, this I missed it. This wasn't the one I was thinking of, though. Dead Trigger was featured as part of the keynote. Horn was the one that I was thinking of.
Yeah,
and that was that was like incredibly impressive when I saw that demo.
Yep.
And
much different game, though.
Completely blocked out my memory of Dead Trigger, so my apologies about that. But still, it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a fun game and it looks really good. So there we go. Aaron Newcomb, thanks so much for joining us
again. This is a blast.
I always love having you on the show.
I love being here. I mean, this is, a lot of people when I posted I was going to be on today on Google+, a lot of people were like, yeah, you're going to be back, and I was like, oh, that's so nice, I always think I do such a horrible job, and people are like, oh, we love it when you're on.
You always do a fantastic job. That's why we keep inviting you back.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Go ahead and plug anything that you would like.
You know what? The best place is to find out about what's going on or just to find out cool stuff or things that I think is cool is Google+. Go to Google+ and add me to your circles. If you're on Facebook, you can also add me on Facebook as a friend. I pretty much let anybody add me as a friend on Facebook. And everything from Google+ goes out to Twitter and Facebook. So if you're not a Google+ user, you can still kind of follow me on those other legacy sites. But Google Plus is the place to be. So go to Google Plus, add me to your circles, and find out what's going on.
Awesome. Google Plus is the place to be.
It is. I'm addicted.
Yeah. Eileen, go for it.
You can find me on about.me/EileenRose. And you can also see, God, I was so quiet for Chad's review and Jason's review because I was updating androidinthewild.tumblr.com. We found a Nook in the bank, a GS3, a Nexus 7, which I just emailed that guy and said, did you take that picture at I.O.? Because that kind of doesn't count, but I posted it anyway. And then a Galaxy Tab 10.1 in the London Eye. Thank you, Orlando. I just updated it moments ago. Thank you so much. I know there was a ton of email that we got, and I got at replies, and I see them on Twitter. So thank you so much.
We get a good amount of those now.
We really do. So I just created a little tag for us in our Gmail, Jason. And I saw a note. Not sorry, not a note. The note, I'm a lot. We get a lot of note photos, which is awesome. But you know what? It is in the wild. That should count, especially if they're really cool stuff like this. I will post later, but this woman had a really cool lime cover for the note. I saw an S3 on my commute home, and I was shocked that someone had it and had a really nice cover for the S3, kind of like a fold book kind of thing, like you would find for a tablet, and she was using it just like a regular phone. So I was going to post that, and I forgot. But all of you guys have posted, and I'm so excited. So I'm updating androidinthewild.tumblr.com. Thank you very much. Keep them coming.
Yes, keep them coming to our email, aaa@twit.tv. But before that, you can find me, if you are so inclined, at about.me/Jason Howell or on Twitter at Jason Howell. And that's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of All About Android. You can leave us a voicemail if you prefer, 347-SHOW-AAA. If you want to tack on a little video to that voicemail and make it a video mail, send us a link to that at our email, aaa@twit.tv. Text in that email actually works as well. That's what we get most of the time. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at Android Show. You can find show notes for all of our episodes. twit.tv/AAA is the place to go for those. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. We will see you next week for another episode of All About Android.
Bye. Don't pick my nose.